This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is degenerate season in the NBA. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski and FS Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Fresh off a massive run covering each of the 30 teams, looking back at both last season and the season ahead. We just went through the NBA draft and it is the beginning of free agency, so there are no shortage of things to talk about amongst true degenerates like all of us. And we're going to get into all of that, but I can't do that without giving an obscene amount of credit to our NBA department, in particular, everybody writing the blurbs, Mike Pasador, Keston Paul, Mark Camaro, many more. If I'm missing somebody, just come clobber me over the head. I just can't say enough about those things. I was out on the road quite a bit and coming back to just, if you go read about, go back by about 10 days back and read all of the blurbs that or in the NBA feed at sportsethos.com, you can feel like you know everything. Like these things are the best analysis that I've seen out there on the internet this past week. I mean, we were talking about the last pick of the draft, and you want to know if he shoots better left-handed than right-handed or whatever have you. I know for myself, I don't know anything about these rookies, but that's why we have experts that we'll be bringing in throughout the coming weeks to break these guys down. Now, let me bring in Steve Alexander. You know, we've seen a ton of news go down, and my initial reaction, other than leaving the draft analysis to those experts and figuring that over the coming month, and there's this typical in-the-weeds fantasy discussion. Like, I was reading all of the updates and just sort of, like, getting excited about player X is in spot Y and all of that, and even the reality discussion is juicy. But it feels like, you know, maybe aside from Paul George, that the big-time headlines are far and few between this year. What has been your take watching week one of transaction as it sort of unfurls itself?
Well, I love the Giddey Caruso trade from both teams. I think Chicago needed a point guard. Giddey's got triple-double potential. He's super young. I think he's going to be good there. And then Caruso is just going to firm up things in Oklahoma City that off the bench. The guy's a walking block, steal, and three-pointer every time he hits the court, regardless of how many minutes he gets. He's a veteran on a young team. He plays defense. He hustles. I mean, it's just a perfect fit there. And I thought the DeJounte Murray trade for someone who lives in the Metro Atlanta area, that was kind of surprising. That was like the trade not heard around the world in Atlanta, because like where I live, no one even really asked me about it. Like people just don't care that much about the Hawks where I live. But I at the beginning was thinking that Trae Young was on his way out and DeJounte was going to stay here, but then DeJounte is sort of started talking his way out of Atlanta later on, and that is what happened. I like the draft picks the Hawks got in return. I don't know what they're going to do with Larry Nance and Dyson Daniels. This looks just like more mediocre Hawk-tree? I don't know. This looks like more mediocre Hawks stuff. Hypocrisy. Hawk stuff that is going to lead to another mediocre season and a poor draft pick. Although somehow they got the number one pick this year in a draft that no one cared about. So,
and a guy whose name I still can't pronounce.
Zachary Ribache, I believe is what it is.
Ribache?
Ribache.
Okay. So, I'll just throw a little bone to the Atlanta Hawks fans. It felt a lot like the De'Aaron Fox situation where, like, he had been on film not playing defense for, like, 3 years, it felt like, and the Kings were trying to move him and couldn't move him because of the big number associated with him. So they moved the guy that they could move in Tyrese Haliburton. Now, De'Aaron Fox worked out really well for the Kings. Maybe Trae Young can be that guy. Before we go too deep into that, let's quickly pay some bills. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your first 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. Yeah, like that Atlanta trade, really, I was just watching the feed come in. My phone was breaking. I was at Disney California Adventure. Like, I couldn't charge my phone. That place is crazy. Man, the people in that arena of child entertainment, man, the looks on their faces, everybody's weathered, the sun's hot. You know, people are haven't yet had their afternoon beer. They're hurting. And I'm sitting there just trying to get a little bit of juice from my phone, and it's dying on me because it's 3 years old. Thanks, Apple. 3 years old and my phone is dying. But the hits kept coming in, and so that Hawks one, I just was laughing. I was like, that's a pretty big deal, you know.
It's fantasy wise, I think it's great for Trae Young. Like, Trae Young was a fantasy darling when DeJounte Murray was in San Antonio. So DeJounte Murray not being there is a good thing for Trae, I would think, at least fantasy-wise. You know, and then DeJounte, I mean, they plan on having him run the offense in New Orleans and being a huge part of what they do. I don't know who really is going to take a back seat there, but
well, it's connected to the Brandon Ingram stuff, and there's just a lot going on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
With all that. And then tomorrow we're going to be doing our top 10 dynasty ranks. And this would be interesting to see if Trae Young can crack into that with that particular development. And maybe another Atlanta Hawk, who knows? Just kidding. But yeah, no, we'll do that tomorrow. This is the tastiest time of the year, I think. That, you know, when I mentioned degenerates, like, the NBA Finals ends, and, you know, you think there's a break, right? And there's not. You know, you go right into draft, and then that, of course, combined with free agency, is just 2 to 3 weeks of complete chaos, and the entire the landscape of the NBA just completely flips, and it's super exciting, but most people aren't, as dialed into it as folks like us, folks like our listeners, and the NBA world at large. It's just a big buffet of greatness. Real quick note, I did put out my free agent ranks. You can find them at sportsethos.com. Those are free. It's a great guide for your team. You know, I always feel like fantasy GMs should probably have more prominent positions in the NBA universe, because the dynasty crowd especially has everything on lockdown. They know about the Isaiah Hartensteins before most folks do, 3-4 years ago, that is. And the free agent ranks will really sort of express that. You'll see names that don't quite hit the radar, and really they're just there to be taken by almost any NBA team. And if you're favorite GM isn't doing that kind of a thing, you can kind of know where they're at. And the best teams, they are going out there and getting those guys their bottom barrel discounts, or getting the player on the way up and avoiding the ones on the way down. The old buy low, sell high thing.
So the check other that thing out. About,
go ahead.
The other thing about this time of year is, if you talk to almost anybody in the sports world, they love the NBA offseason because it's just full of drama. It's full of nonstop stuff. And, you know, most football guys and baseball guys that I know wish that their offseasons were more like the NBA's, because, like you said, it never ends. It never, the news cycle never stops. And the summer, jockeying and fighting for guys and bidding on guys, like this whole Paul George thing and Klay Thompson and Russell Westbrook. Like, there's just so much going on that it's fun. And it, I don't know that people are like locked in really thinking about next year and fantasy and all that. But if nothing else, they're just tuning in to Woj and all the bombs and all that stuff just to be entertained, because it is kind of fun. Like, I do think the NBA, they've got the best show on TV with Ernie and Chuck and Shaq and all them. And they also have the best off season. So, well, we still got another year.
We got another year. That's right. We got another year before facing the reality that we might not have. If we don't have that, I'm going to be really upset. Like, I can pick at that show all day long and be like, oh, what about Shaq mumbling into the mic, or, you know, whatever the other problem with the show is, or Chuck, you know, doesn't even know half the players in the league, or whatever the thing is. That is like, you know, white noise to go to sleep with in the background. I can't do the NBA without that stuff. And to build on your point, this is the most exciting time of the year. I'm just sitting there thinking about the Paul George situation as you were talking, and I was laughing. I was like, Steve Ballmer lost a massive bet this week. Just a massive bet, like a Titanic bet. And how much is that even being covered? That might be like the fifth most important thing in the news cycle right now in the NBA. So it's just a tasty, tasty buffet of greatness. And we're going to cover it over multiple shows.
And speaking of a fun summer, the Boston Celtics are for sale. That's breaking news, Brew. Just came down the line off the wire.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with this stuff. Funny, does Chris Mannix even know? I think Chris Mannix just had a tweet about like signing Derek White, or extending Derek White was a sign that those guys wanted to pay money or something. That's a massive piece of news, and also talk about timing if you're going to sell a franchise. So
it's crazy, dude. They just won and they're set up to win again, maybe at some point. I don't recall a team winning a championship and then going up on the auction block and the next day.
I'll just throw a dart at a number. I mean, you know, I covered the Kings relocation story when these franchise valuations were at like $330 million, $500 million for a mid-market Sacramento team with, you know, major kind of issues in terms of valuation. And I think, what did the Clippers go for, like $2 billion? When Steve Ballmer, speaking of Steve Ballmer, I'm going to say 10.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Maybe 7.
Billion.
7? Let's be real.
Billion dollars.
I mean, you just won. You're a big market. Like you mentioned.
One of the most historic franchises in sports.
Right. Yeah, you're poised. 10, whew, I don't know. If they can get 10, man, the NBA, there'll be a lot of angling for that sales price to be that high. And the NBA is only bringing in blue chip owners at this point. They're just going for venture capital guys, you know, like real, real big money. And that might counter some of the little bit damper of a bad news when Mark Cuban got out, I think, in Dallas. I think the league was pretty sensitive to that. Anyway, all right, We're going to have breaking news on this show all day. I better keep the producer in my ear over here. Thank you, Andre, for letting us know about that. I don't know about you, Doc. I want to just kind of touch on the draft a little bit from a fantasy perspective. I know we can get in the weeds with this stuff as we go down the road. We'll have probably Mark Camaro on, you know, and others around the league to break down some of these guys. I know it's not my core competency. I just turn on film probably in like August 1-ish, you know, maybe a little bit earlier, and really sit down and dig in and figure out who these guys are and what does the eye test tell me. But initial thoughts in the draft before I kind of rattle off a few of mine, Steve?
Well, the first pick was by the Hawks, and it was Zachary Risache, as we said. He plays the same position as Jalen Johnson. I don't love that. I think he can also play shooting guard, though, and maybe he can slide into where DeJounte was hanging out. I think they need to play him and start him early. But can he get his own shot? I don't know. And can he play power forward maybe, or can Jalen play power forward? I don't know. Those are things that remain to be seen. Other two thoughts, Zach Edey went to Memphis. They say he's going to start right off the bat. Everybody is doubting that guy, and it makes me kind of like him. So Zach Edey, I think, is the name that very casual college basketball fans, like, everybody knows who Zach Edey is. A lot of these other guys, people didn't know who they were. So Zach Edey was interesting that I think he went 10th to Memphis. And then the guy that everybody was talking about, of course, the 55th pick in the draft, I believe. I don't even know if that's the right number, but Bronny James going to the Lakers as so that LeBron can hold them hostage for another couple of years. So those were the highlights. I do like, there were players in this draft I like, though. I like Klingon quite a bit, Donovan Klingon. I think he went to Portland. And I like Reed Shepard, best shooter in the draft. And a lot of teams had Shepard rated really, really highly, higher than he went. So those are my initial takeaways.
You know, looking at Mark Camaro's ranks here, maybe I'm giving away something that's behind the paywall. I'm not 100% sure. Just real quick, you've got Reed Shepard number one in his Dynasty rookie rankings. Mm. Nikola Topic. I'm sure Andre's going to be in my ear.
My son loves that guy. I think he's one of Luca's buddies or something.
Alexandre Sarr at three. That's the one that I've seen prior to doing any research, at least a little bit. I haven't seen a lot, but he looks interesting, you know, being able to fly around. Sarr, it's the flying around piece, I think, that's got me interested. Risache, no fantasy stats. So that's interesting. So I don't know what that looks like. And then you do have Jalen Johnson there. But Reed Shepard shoots well. Can he fit in Houston? Can he do something, you know, with an immediate impact? Donovan Klingon, what does that mean for DeAndre Ayton? Is a thought on my mind. Other than that, I don't know. Edey, I was kind of with you on that. Like, a guy that it'd be easy to say he's just going to get played off the floor in the pick and roll at that size. But from a fantasy perspective, like, when he's on the floor, I mean, look at what Andre Drummond does. You know, you can almost like pencil in Andre Drummond for a top 100 game in his 16 minutes per game, just knowing he's going to stand there and people are just going to bounce off him. He'll just catch rebounds. Get a couple steals and blocks. Interesting stuff. Any other draft thoughts before we punt the draft talk for later episodes down, you know, a couple weeks down the ladder here before we head into the meaty morsel of free agent transactions?
This is ridiculous for me to even try to do this because I cannot think of the kid. Oh, Trayce Jackson-Davis. for the Warriors, played at IU, Indiana, and he was, what, 57th, I think, and everybody's like, he can't play. He's never going to – his game will never translate to the NBA. Well, guess what it did? Golden State loves him. They played him a lot last year, and he wasn't like a huge fantasy guy, but I don't believe I'm not going to believe what everybody says about all these players until I see it myself. So, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis can't play in the NBA. Yes, he can. I don't know why Zach Edey can't put up some decent big man numbers as a rookie in Memphis. Like, I just don't understand why he can't do that. And I think he will.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the year that everybody just was like, this draft sucks. Like, just everybody said, this draft sucks. And then it just didn't happen that way. Like, every player selected in that bad draft got good really quick. Maybe we can figure that one out at some point in time during the show. So who knows? You know, you never know with this stuff. And the devil's in the details. So we'll get into the details throughout the next couple weeks. All right, starting off in transaction and rumor land, let's, I guess, go to Paul George in Philadelphia. How are you on the deal overall? And then let's start kind of picking it apart from a fantasy perspective.
Well, I haven't even really consumed or absorbed the deal wholly yet. I just know it happened. And I also know that like 2 weeks ago or last week, one of these days, I remember saying on the show, I bet Paul George is going to Philly. And because there were rumors bubbling a couple weeks ago about this. And like you said, Steve Ballmer is probably incredibly, let's say, upset right now. He has these, it seems like, personal attachments to these players and befriends them and everything else and expects loyalty in return. And I mean, it's a business, man. So it really, really hurts the Clippers. The Clippers are going to clip again. And now it gives Philadelphia a big time player to go along with Embiid and Maxey that I think you need three guys like that to win in the NBA now. So from just a reality perspective, Philly needed to do something to give their fans hope, because I think everybody was like, man, we can't win with Embiid because he's always hurt. Well, if you have Paul George and Embiid together, there's no limitations to what you can do offensively. You just got to keep Embiid on the floor. Fantasy-wise, Paul George is going to be Paul George. I don't think it matters what team he's on. So same old for him, I think.
Yeah, I think it's I'd imagine the Steve Ballmer eruption in his office hearing about this news. And the jock-sniffing owner is its own genre that probably deserves more. Well, I guess, you know what, I haven't watched the movie Clipped yet, or the show Clipped yet. I need to just do that. I'm lagging over here, but it's like a genre.
I haven't been watching it either. I think I got through three episodes, maybe four. There's only six, I think, so I need to finish that up. But
the jock sniffing owner is the Drake of the NBA, and funny enough, they're all hanging out with Drake. You know, here locally, especially it's how can your owner stay out of NBA transactions is half the battle in the NBA. Paul George, it couldn't. I do think this is a great landing spot for him in the sense that like he can keep his stats for the most part. You know, we know who the show belongs to in Philadelphia. Now, anything happens to Joel Embiid, then Paul George gets bumped back into max usage territory alongside Tyrese Maxey. Their window is now, so making a move like this makes a tremendous amount of sense from their perspective. Even if something happens with Joel Embiid, you're looking at Paul George as a combo with Tyrese Maxey, and you could actually build around that a little bit, even though Paul George is getting up there in age. So, you know, Daryl Morey, congrats. That's a good one.
You know what else is interesting is they got Andre Drummond. And guess what Andre Drummond does when he starts and gets minutes, or at least what he do last year. He went off. He put up some monster numbers last year when he got minutes. And it was impossible to see it coming. It was impossible to predict when it was going to happen. But, I mean, if I'm the Sixers and I want to rest Joel Embiid once every 10 days just to try to keep him healthy, and I've got Andre Drummond to slot in there, I think I feel pretty good about that, even though Andre's like 56 years old.
Yeah, he's one of the funniest players in the NBA, too. He talks a ton of trash, can't back it up, but just gobbles up statistics like it's nobody's business. And, you know, the free throw thing is whatever it is. It's just a lot of funny there. Paul Reed, you know, gets kind of cast out in a way. Who knows what that looks like? I think the funniest, not even maybe funny is not the right word, but like, what's wrong with Kelly Oubre? Is he like afraid of money? Like, what's going on? I just watched that guy be a part of the central strategy to contain Jalen Brunson. I thought he did a great job in that series. I mean, we're talking on like a couple hands tops, like people that can stop Jalen Brunson or really bother him. And Oubre was great. He just comes off a minimum deal, and now he's going to do a 2-year, $16.3 million deal. This guy scored 20 points a game just two seasons ago. Yeah, I watched him be very bad in Golden State, you know, up close here. But come on, like, what's the backstory with Kelly Oubre? Or am I on my own with this? Is Kelly Oubre only a eight per year player? For the that's a great get for Philly.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like Oubre's. I like his versatility and the fact that he can play on both ends. I just wish he would do more. Like, he's it seems like there's so much potential, and he's never really lived up to it, which is probably why he's not getting paid the fat money like some of these other guys are. Sixers also added Eric Gordon to bomb threes from the outside. I would be surprised if Eric Gordon shoots anything but three-pointers this year. Like, will he ever shoot a two-point shot?
Yes, I'll go yes. But that guy's, what, 38 years old without looking? And feels like the last 4 years he's been healthier than at any point in time in his career. I really like the offseason for the Philadelphia Sixers. I don't know if it's enough to put them over the top. But at least it's enough to keep them very interesting as we head into, you know, a season of Boston Celtic mania. I think people are going to be pretty much on the Boston Celtics train from start to finish this upcoming season. Paul George on the wing definitely adds somebody who can provide length against that bunch of wings in Boston. Let's go. Mikal Bridges joins the Knicks. That was spicy, huh?
Like Villanova, Villanova City.
I just got a big smile on my face when I saw that deal. Now, it is a big deal, folks. We're talking four unprotected first round picks from the Knicks. 2025, 2027, 2029, 2031. A protected Milwaukee first. I believe the protection on that for the 2025 protected Milwaukee first, if I'm not mistaken, is 1 through 4. Now, Milwaukee not likely to just completely fall off the map, so maybe not that big of a deal. And then you got some pick swaps and things like that. That's massive. I mean, the Knicks just went all in on this, and I could see a universe where, you know, the Knicks start to fall apart and those picks actually get to be valuable. I gotta love this for Brooklyn. I mean, Mikal Bridges coming off a really bad season, but getting the same juice, you know, from the marketplace that he got heading into Brooklyn. Where are you at with that deal? And let's kind of parse some of that out for everybody.
Well, I love it for the Knicks short term, because Mikal Bridges had to be the alpha dog in Brooklyn, and he's not built for that. What he is built for is to be like the third or fourth guy that does everything, never misses a game, and is just a great team player. Like, I think this makes the Knicks, I think it really helps them a lot.
I might buy a Knicks jersey. I might be a Knicks fan, man. I can't believe it. I might be a Knicks fan. Oh boy.
Dude, I get called I've been made fun of for having like seven favorite teams. I got to cut it down this year. I'm only rooting. Well, I can't say it. I'm rooting for three teams this year. I'm Pacers, I'm Spurs, and I'm Dallas. And I know you're not allowed to root for two teams from the same state, but I'm doing it because I don't care.
That's great. That's gonna Andre Lemos will be so heartwarmed by your San Antonio fanship. They've had a big.
You go get you a Knicks jersey, and I'll wear my Spurs sweatshirt that Ken the Cade Train Kreitz got me, and we'll go hang out together.
That sounds great. They're gonna be some unhappy Kings fans. There's a lot of people out there that thinks I'm a Kings fan, and I just can't.
Were you gonna say something about the Spurs and the fact that they have Chris Paul to throw lobs to Victor Wembanyama?
Honestly, I like the Spurs they're on my list of tasty meatballs here. I love it. I love Chris Paul. I just saw some tweets that they're trying to get Nick Batum in San Antonio. Like, come on. Like, how perfect is that? Nick Batum in San Antonio with his Frenchman, Victor Wembanyama, also probably throwing lobs. I think Nick Batum might be one of the last post-entry guys left in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I am not a Chris Paul fan, or I wasn't 2 days ago, but now I am.
That's a commitment right there.
I think I said this on Twitter. I've never drafted Chris Paul on a fantasy team. And he's been in the league. Like, Chris Paul's like, what, 62 years old? And I've never drafted him. In the 30 years I've been playing fantasy hoops,
that would, never had, you know, somebody clipped that one and put that out on the internet. That's crazy, man. Not
for
even
some reason,
not even an auto draft.
Some reason I always thought his knees were ready to explode, and they kind of never did.
He got it figured out. Here, let's rewind a little bit. I don't want to jump off the Knicks just yet. Like, Mikal Bridges, I think we've seen a lot of takes flying around fantasy land that this is probably good for him in a way. I don't know. I think that's...
I don't think so.
I think no matter what, he'll be of value. I think people will feel like burnt, just dependent upon their format. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, depending on your format with him. But he gets in, and I mean, aside from buying a Knicks jersey and the Villanova stuff, and the Tibbs is like, I feel like Tibbs is like a proud papa now. He's got a bunch of Bulldogs that, you know, speak his language, and he can kind of just now lay off a little bit, have fun. Relatively speaking, I don't know if Tom Thibodeau's contractually or physically capable of having fun. I think he is.
in case people don't know what the Villanova thing is, it's Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, and Mikal Bridges all played together at Villanova, and now they're all on the Knicks. So I don't know if Mikal Bridges is going to have more value going from being the number one option in Brooklyn to the number three option or four option in New York, but I don't think he's going to lose a ton of value. I think he'll be drafted a lot more this year where he should have been last year, and that's like round five.
Give me some of that. I love it. The other guys, this has got to hurt, right? Like Jalen Brunson, does this knock Jalen Brunson back at all?
I don't think so. I think Jalen Brunson is on a path... and he's been on that path, and he's going to stay on that path. Maybe his numbers, his points drop a little bit, but Jalen Brunson's the man, dude.
He really is. I mean, I wonder if the league cracks down on foul stuff, but we've talked about this in the past. He's not, you know, he's a pretty ethical scorer, even though he's in the flop discussion. He's working the refs. Don't get me wrong, but he's working him with a little class and respect for the game versus some of these other guys. But if that happens, I wonder if he loses a little bit of what seems to just be unstoppable at times. And then, to your point, he's probably not the guy getting hurt. Dante DiVincenzo probably gets hurt with this. Josh Hart maybe gets hurt with this. Probably not so much. And instead of going back to the Spurs after this, I'll spin this into, we just got news that Isaiah Hartenstein is signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder for just under $30 million a year. Congrats, Mr. Hartenstein. It has been a long road of disrespect. I think 4 years ago, some team could have locked you up for way less money. That would have, you know, been great for them for about 3 or 4 years, and you'd eventually gotten paid the money you got paid right now. But this is just a big move for the Oklahoma City Thunder, in my opinion. I feel like it's really, really going to help those guys out. They've also made other moves in Oklahoma City, shoring up some of their young guys, retaining Isaiah Joe was at the top of the list. And as you mentioned, getting rid of Giddy and adding Caruso. Like, what? I guess we'll go to the fantasy stuff here in a second. Actually, I want to ask you a question before we get to Oklahoma City. You said you're not a Mitchell Robinson guy. Are you a Mitchell Robinson guy now?
No. I don't trust him. I don't think he can stay on the floor. Yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, he has to be better with Hartenstein gone. And Hartenstein now has to play behind Chet. And I don't know how that's going to go. Maybe they can play them together a little bit. I don't know. But, dude, I've been burned so many times by Mitchell Robinson. I don't know if I can do it.
I was just checking. I just wanted to check. Oklahoma City, though, like, what happens now? We've crowded this rotation a little bit with really good players. I could go to the reality question and ask you, where do you think this puts the Oklahoma City Thunder in terms of the playoff chase? We could do that. And then I could spin around and ask you about the fantasy side. Let's do that. What do you think about Oklahoma City now heading into Western Conference playoff predictions for next season?
Well, it's going to sound stupid, but adding Caruso and Hartenstein was huge in reality. They're not big names. They're not sports center guys. They're not, you just don't hear a lot about them, but I mean, those are the kind of moves I think that help win you championships. And I'm not saying OKC is going to win it all, but everybody is going to be not want to play that team coming into the season. SGA, you know, Jalen, they're already so good with those two and Chet and the rest. I mean, the whole roster is just solid. I mean, this whole tanking, collecting draft picks and utilizing them in really almost the perfect way every time, it has really paid off. And Caruso is such a solid player on everywhere. He's smart. He plays D. He's good offensively. He just does everything well. And that's only going to make that team better. And I think he's just going to be like the spark plug in the middle of that engine that just keeps everything running. And then fantasy-wise, I think Hartenstein takes a little bit of a hit because Chet was an Iron Man last year. And he's probably going to continue to be one. But I don't think they signed Hartenstein to leave him on the bench. So I think he's still going to have fantasy value, just not as much. And then Caruso, I mean, Caruso is going to Caruso no matter where he is. It's like I said earlier, a block, steal, and a three per game. And those are the fantasy, that's fantasy gold, as Cam and I say. And whatever you say something monetary there. What is it again?
The cash counters. The money cash counting counters. Stats.
Cash counters.
Counting that cash. It's, man, I mean, Caruso can play 25 minutes per game there. They could drop him down to 23 and try to maintain his health. I think that's, I mean, man, you're going to have him and Dort chasing people around.
Yep.
That's crazy. I mean, and everybody else is very good. I mean, I call Hartenstein, to me, without looking, I would put him top 5, top 7 big men in the NBA. I just am that enamored with the mobility, the size, the versatility in his game. You know what? The dude can actually even pull from three. It's not like you want him doing that. It's a break glass in case of emergency kind of a thing. But he actually does have that shot. He used to take it in L.A. And cooled it because Tibbs was like, hell no. And dribble handoff stuff. I mean, you can run offense through him. That's a dangerous situation, I think, for the rest of the league. He can defend Nikola Jokic about as well as most, you know, in the league can as well. So they needed a big in Oklahoma City with size. That was just a glaring weakness for them, and they just went out and got the guy. Now, that's a lot of money. I think that money plays on the basketball floor, and they play the guys together. But, I mean, if Chet can shoot threes, boom. You know, that kind of takes care of that issue. So pretty excited about that. Do you think this eats at fantasy value for the top guys? You know, there are now a lot of good players on this basketball squad. Do you think this pulls back Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Do you think it pulls back Jalen Williams at all?
No.
Not even a smidge.
Nope.
That's good. That's real good. We're going to have a big spicy discussion on those dynasty plays in tomorrow's episode. Let's spin around for a couple other things here.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Because we're going to try to keep this show to about 45 minutes. There's a ton of material, and we'll just keep hitting it as we go through the week here. Let's go to San Antonio. Let's go to Chris Paul. You know, this will be a good lead-in to tomorrow's episode as we talk about, I mean, Victor Wembanyama, I hate to break news, folks. He's probably both of our top dynasty plays going forward. I hope I'm not messing that up or stepping on your toes, or you had somebody else in mind, Doc.
No.
Luca.
No, are you kidding me?
Luca.
Luca.
No. Okay. No. Okay, so enter Chris Paul. Chris Paul joins the Spurs on a $1 million deal, $11 million. Lots of talk about how it's not the plan right now, but it's a pretty flippable deal in the middle of the year prior to the trade deadline if he wants to go join a contender. But what does this do for Victor Wembanyama? Sort of the obvious question, but let's talk about it anyway. And then if you could tell me, are you going to draft Chris Paul before he retires, sir?
Yeah, I might do it. This could be the year. That's what I said. I never done it before, but I might do it now. I mean, he's just going to be throwing lobs to Wemby. The over-under, somebody asked me on Twitter, is the over-under for his assist at 10? And is he going to be over? And I think he'll probably be right at 10. But then again, if he really is out there just throwing lobs to Wemby, he could average 12, 13 assists. Like, who knows? And it really depends on how much Chris Paul buys into this thing. And, you know, from all the reports and the conversations he had with Pop and the Spurs, like, he's like, yeah, man, I'm in. 1 year, $11 million. That's $3 million more than Kelly Oubre will make this year. So I'm just excited to see it. And then you also have so many young players in San Antonio, so many just young kids, really. And they're not like Oklahoma City, where you've got these big names like Jalen and SGA are young, but they're already like so established. Basically, SGA is a superstar and Jalen's right on the doorstep. San Antonio's got a bunch of young guys that aren't in that category that Chris Paul should be able to mentor and really help. So he's going to be part coach. He's going to be part Pop's buddy. He's going to be Wemby's guy throwing Wemby lobs. And I don't know, man. I'm kind of excited about it.
I don't know if Chris Paul strikes me as a wine guy, but Pops loves himself a bottle of wine, and I could see the two of them drinking that up post game. It's an interesting thing because, like, I think Chris Paul, a lot of players are kind of fed up with the Chris Paul experience. You know, like, his teammates almost always come out of that equation going, "Man, that guy, he's a piece of work." And here comes the situation that's really ripe for the old vet that nobody wants to listen to. Like, Chris Paul, you ain't won nothing, and you're going to come and try to tell me as the young guy what I should do, but you got Victor Wembanyama sitting over there. And by all appearances, he has said the right stuff. He's had the right mentality. And I bet if anybody tries to pull the "he's old and I don't need to listen to that guy," I bet you Wemby stomps it. And they really do take in, like, Chris Paul's got a ton of valuable information. And despite the fact his leadership hasn't really worked out in these high leverage situations, it's still a ton of leadership. It's a ton of great leadership. You got Pop there. So Chris Paul doesn't have to be the main voice, but I think they're going to get every ounce of his leadership out of that equation, probably without any of the overbearing bad stuff. And who knows?
Like, and really, I think the big question is, are the Spurs going for it this year, or are they taking another year to sit back and evaluate things and then really go for it next year? And I know they've cleared cap space for next year. And I kind of feel like they're waiting another year before they really unleash Wemby and a solid backup crew to go with him. I think they're waiting until the year after this season to do that. But then again, why would they give Chris Paul $11 million and bring him in there for a year if they didn't want to win games this year? So it's kind of weird. Maybe they think they can win this year and then really, really build a wicked team and go for it all the following year. I don't know. We'll see.
Like, I can quibble with Chris Paul's game a million ways, but one thing he does not as well as he could do, but as well as a lot of players, is if there is a thing that the defense has trouble with, if there's a play that's working, he'll keep going back to it. And he's going to have a play that works every time down the floor. Like, how that turns out to me is going to be fascinating, because he might find an unstoppable play every time down the floor. And so you're just talking about, like, 29 other teams can't make Chris Paul work. Like, they just can't.
Have you seen that video of the girl on the Chinese team, the China team, where she's like 7'3" and everybody else on the court's 6 feet at best. And she's just towering over these people and just destroying them. And she scored 44 the other night on like 20 of 22 shooting. And you watch this video of her and it's like, well, that's not fair. It's not fair. Wemby's the same way, dude. Like, Wemby is the male version of that woman.
And we haven't even seen
Chris Paul is just going to be throwing it up.
It's going to be. And so let's say that I kind of think, to your point, like, I do think they're gunning for next season. I mean, this free agent market is kind of whatever. When I did my ranks, I was like, I don't know, but this is kind of like the worst draft, like, free agency class we've ever had. You know, I haven't looked forward to next year. I don't know what it is. It's got to be better, right? But it gives the Spurs at least a year to kind of look out there and kind of figure out the landscape and sort of get their pick of the bunch. I mean, if any player out there is hitting free agency and they want to win something, San Antonio's on their short list no matter what. So they'll get the year to do that. But, I mean, if you can make Chris Paul work where other teams cannot. You can get a guy who can make the right pass for $11 million, and that's going to pump you up the rankings of the standings. Pardon me. You're going to make yourself a 6 seed, a 4 seed. You know, what if they make him a 3 seed or something? Because it's an unstoppable situation. Like, that's great experience.
I also like what you just said, because if next year is the goal, and next year they're trying to draw free agents to San Antonio, the top of the top. And I think it's I haven't looked at who is becoming a free agent next year, but I'm pretty sure the list is stout. Like, there are good players. And if you want people to come to San Antonio and play, why not bring Chris Paul in and make Victor Wembanyama look like a monster all year this year? And then people are going to be like, yep, I want to go play with that guy. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know.
That part of what you just said to me is like the most misunderstood piece about just team building and strategy in general. You know, why tanking isn't the all-encompassing answer a lot of the times is you do need to, you know, if you're a team that needs to sell itself for whatever reason to other free agents, you have to get good so they want to come here. It's a cumulative process year after year. You got to keep making your organization look better so these free agents go, yeah, I want to go there. All right. So as you can see, there's no shortage of things to talk about here. Tomorrow, we're going to take a quick break from free agency land, because we got a lot to talk about. We got a long time to talk about it, and people been begging for us to give our top 10 dynasty ranks, so we're going to go ahead and do that. If you guys love what you're hearing and you want to support what we're doing over here at Sports Ethos, please consider subscribing to this show on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Like, review, give us all that feedback. It totally helps us, not just with algorithms, but it helps us improve the show. You can let us know how we're doing at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, at Aaron Bruski, A-A-R-O-N-B-R-U-S-K-I. Follow the news accounts at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Also probably Ethos Fantasy NFL. It's NFL draft guide season. That thing is released. These guys are studs. Talking about the Ethos Fantasy NFL team, I'm just in awe of the work that they're doing over there. The All Sport membership, I believe, is on promo for $8. Also, there's a deal right now for 2024 NBA free agency. You're going to get 24% off for 4 months. I believe any membership. I should know these things, but I don't. I think that's enough shilling for one episode. Big thank you to Steve, producer Andre Lemos, and most importantly, you guys, for making Sports Ethos everything it is. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.